everyone. This is Jody Sweetin from the podcast How Rude, Tanneritos. I've been needing a quick getaway with my family, and the 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe is the perfect vehicle to take us there. It has standard third row seating, so I'm able to pack my entire family, plus pets in the car, while also having enough room for our camping essentials. Available H-Track all-wheel drive will get us through any dirt trails, and available dual wireless charging pads will ensure we never have to worry about getting stuck with a dead phone in the middle of nowhere. Visit HyundaiUSA.com. or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
What do the most successful growing businesses have in common? They're working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
First Strike, First Look right here on Visa. I'm your host, Dave Ross. For the next couple minutes here, going to catch up with Lou Finicaro and talk about UFC Fight Night coming up this weekend between Vicente Luque and Bilal Muhammad. Remember the name we have. This should be a pretty interesting main event. So it's always good to have Lou join the program here, First Strike, First Look. And again, you can follow Lou on Twitter as I do, at GamBlue. And before we begin, Lou, I do want to talk about the Bout Business podcast, because I'd like to give that information out for first-time listeners to First Strike, First Look. When people listen to the Bout Business podcast, Lou, what are they going to get?
Yes, Dave. Well, first of all, thanks for having me on. These series of shows that you guys do are really excellent. And the Bout Business podcast is directed totally to the UFC. Each week there is a UFC production. There will be a podcast dropping Friday afternoon, available on all podcast platforms. And it's a simple podcast of 16 to 18 minutes that summarizes my 4 to 6 final releases each week. We tabulate results week to week and are totally accountable for the releases and make those public each Friday afternoon. And I appreciate you mentioning that for me.
Absolutely. I do so because it's great information. I try to plug it on Twitter as well, because if we just look back to UFC 273, I thought you gave the people a lot of really good ways to make some money. Very profitable night, I know, for you. And I was fortunate to be on some of the same sides of some of those winners. What was your overall takeaway of UFC 273? I know some people that had Gilbert Burns felt like, oh, man, we got robbed on that one. I thought they kind of got that decision right. Mackenzie Dern had a very close decision victory in her fight against Tisha Torres. And I guess, Lou, the bottom line is, when it goes to the judges, you really do have to kind of put your hand and your heart there for a second and say, I hope I'm on the right side of a very close fight.
That's exactly correct. And the judges understand are not anything related. There's no umbilical between the judging and mixed martial arts. And if there's no umbilical between judging and mixed martial arts, certainly there is no connection to the UFC. This problem is state by state commission that are really related to the boxing game. And that's where the wrinkle occurs. So yes, you're right. You not only are taking it into judges' hands if you go to decision, you're taking it into judges' hands that don't know really what they're looking at most of the time. So while I hate to be that critical, those are the facts. And so of all those fights, my takeaway was, and I had released Dern at a plus price, I was surprised at that result. I don't think I was very surprised at the others. I thought Aljo won round one, and so I was willing to accept either split decision in that fight. Clearly, Volkanovski was pronounced, and I thought that Chimaev did enough to win his fight. Gil looked great. He didn't lose, but the decision had to go to Chimaev, in my opinion. But it was the Dern-Torres fight that, to me, was a little surprising, and I was on the Dern side.
As was I, and I was on the small play on Aljamain Sterling as well, so that ticket cashed. And again, I was right there with you. If they had gone the other way with Peter Yan, I wouldn't have been crying foul about it. But again, this is when we try to give you this here on First Strike, First Look, we're doing this, you know, you've got to take that into account, which fights might possibly go to the cards, and when they go to the scorecards, it really is. Sometimes it's in the eye of the beholder, so hopefully you cast some of those tickets like Lou and I did last week. Lou, let's get to this main event this weekend. Again, potentially five rounds in a main event fight between Vicente Luque and Bilal Muhammad. You know, already here as we talk on a Tuesday, and I'll be very curious when we get to First Strike on Friday where these numbers are, because Luque already, there's some buyback coming in on Muhammad. So Luque was already as big as I saw $1.80, $1.90. He's down to $1.65. Bilal Muhammad plus 145. What do you make of that matchup initially and also the line move?
So as I'm tracking it, Dave, I have Luque opening 65 and I have him looking like 65 or so now. So I'm not seeing a great amount of movement, but I'm not, I track Pinnacle. That's who I use because they're usually a little bit later to the party. Mm-hmm. And some of the funny opening lines that can be moved a dime on a $100 bet, I don't try and pay attention to. So I'm very deliberate on my opening number. And so I'm not showing a lot of movement from the opening line. And that's neither here nor there. This is going to be a compelling fight. We did not have a compelling fight last week for the main event, but no. This week's main event is a compelling fight. It's a rematch fight and it pits guys that are entering on tremendous momentum. Luque enters 10-1, and of those 10 wins, 9 have been by finish. And he's totally overlooked, I think, by the masses. And another guy who's peaking at the right time is Muhammad, entering on a 10-1-1 UFC record. So we're going to get a really excellent stylistic fight, and we're going to get two really top five athletes in the welterweight division. This is as exciting a main event as you could ask for.
I totally agree with you. And again, styles make fights, as we talk about all the time on First Strike. And you look at Muhammad and you know what Bilal wants to do. He wants to get this fight down to the ground. You would assume Luque here would try to keep this standing here. It is interesting when you see that the total round set at 4.5. And right now I'm seeing here, you can see, again, to your point, you got to shop around here for some of the best numbers, depending on which side you like here. The over right now, 4.5 rounds, minus $1.05. The under, minus 125. We saw a couple 4.5s here going back to UFC 273 last week. Obviously, Aljo and Jan did go the distance, but Alexander Volkanovski was able to get his fight stopped in the fourth round against the Korean Zombie. Is there a lean either way so far for you when you look at the total rounds?
You know, that's interesting because I've been looking for totals and they have not been available. I even looked at DraftKings and did not see a total for any of these fights by the time I just submitted my article to Point Spread Weekly. So this is the first that I'm hearing. I would imagine it would be that. I do mm-hmm. look for improvement out of Muhammad, and I think that takes the form of a longer fight. But it's early, and let's understand, Muhammad is a Palestinian, he's a Muslim, and it's mm-hmm. Ramadan for Muslims, and Muhammad is a strict practitioner of the Muslim religion, which means that he doesn't get to eat from sunup to sundown each day. What that does this month with his fight in the middle of the month must affect him physically to some extent and mentally to some extent. Now, what extent is that? I don't know, but I know that it's a factor. And so weigh-ins become very important in this fight, especially with a guy under those kinds of conditions that has to be the one with the cardio and the wrestling.
It's a fascinating, fascinating breakdown because that is something that should not be taken lightly. And again, when you kind of look at Muhammad anyway, and I respect Bilal, obviously, in my Chicago days, and Bilal Muhammad now out of Chicago, he is a smaller 170 guy against Luque, who's a bigger guy. I wonder if Luque will kind of thinks of that and says, hey, he might not have a whole lot left in the tank if I can extend this longer. So maybe instead of trying to get out of there early, see if he can sap into that gas tank for Muhammad, if really nutrition could quite frankly play a role in this fight, correct?
Well, I really stand to learn from watching. I don't mm-hmm. know if I'm ready to make any proclamations yet, But I do know that he's undergoing that. And I do look at that as an advantage for the Luque side as well. Luque won the first fight. This is Luque's second rematch. He fought Price twice and was effective in both fights. I don't know why you would think Luque would not be effective. Listen, he trains down at Sanford. There's a million savages at Sanford, and they all know how to wrestle. So Luque's seeing plenty of wrestling, let me tell you.
Yeah, no question about it. Well, when we look at a little bit deeper on the card here, whenever you have Caramel Thunder getting back in there against Andre Fialho, that should be a very interesting fight as well. What do you make of that matchup in particular at a first strike, first look?
Aiza Fialho, that's going to be, now that we've lost Lizay and Zaleski Dos Santos, that moves up to barn burner of the night. Fialho, I think, was going through some emotional strains in his first fight, which was a debut loss in the UFC. Baeza is really, he's an interesting cat, long, tall, powerful, but can sometimes run out of gas a little bit. He's lost his last two, one to Ponzinibbio and then to Chaos Williams. So he's looking to turn it around against a guy that's really dangerous, really explosive, and maybe on the bounce in this Fialho, who's the dog.
Yeah, Fialho right now plus 150. Right now, as you see, Miguel is minus 170 as the small favorite there. As I look very, very deep into the card here, I said Devin Clark against William Knight could be a very interesting fight there. Knight right now, plus 150 in the comeback. Clark, minus 170, pretty much the same price that we just talked about there. What do you make of that matchup, and is there any live dog scenario there in William Knight?
Well, William Knight's a live dog at any time, and he continues to be a dog, and all he does is fight like he's completely out. He's, you know, he's just a square of a human being. He's a walking fire hydrant, basically, with power. And he's going to give away size and height. The interesting thing to this fight, Dave, is that these are two 205-pound fighters. These are light heavyweights, both agreeing to move up. And this is Knight's second fight at heavyweight. To me, I think Knight flirting with heavyweight, it hints itself of that it's really hard for him to make 205 and appetite. And so I tend to think if there's somebody out there that can stay away from him for a round and take him into the second round, they may have a chance. And Devin Clark has the experience to do that. It's just that he's been uneven in his career a little bit as well. Clark will be taller. He's younger. He's got a 2-inch reach advantage. So he has every opportunity to try and stay away and do something that Knight's previous opponents have been unable to do, and that is stay away from him.
Yeah, it's always fascinating when you see guys slated at one weight and say, you know what, let's just move on up. Let's not worry about that weight cut, and I'll see you on Saturday night. Lou, when you look at the rest of the card, if you pick any fight that really does stand out to you, which one do you think might really be a surprise that maybe we're not talking about now, but we might be after Saturday night?
Well, just for good, clean fun and heavyweights, you go down on the card and you got a kid named Boudet who's making his debut from Slovakia against Chris Barnett. Now, you can't judge the book by the cover. This Chris Barnett is 5'9", 264.5 pounds when he weighs in. So he really doesn't look like a heavyweight fighter, but for a short amount of time, he's got unbelievable power, and he's a fan favorite. The crowd will totally be into this guy. On the other side of the cage, this debuting Boudet, he's going to be 6 years younger, 7 inches taller. He's also 265er, and he's going to have a reach advantage. This will be a very interesting Frazier Ali kind of a fight, where Chris Barnett's working, bobbing and weaving to try and get inside and land on Boudet, and Boudet's going to have to keep him on the outside. Should be interesting. It's always great fun to watch the heavyweights go.
Boudet right now minus 225, Barnett plus 185 on the comeback there. Hey, if we get anything like a little Frazier and Ali thrill in Manila, sign me up for that, Lou. I will definitely be watching that one on Saturday night. Hey, Lou, it's always a pleasure to catch up with you, my friend. Really appreciate your time. And again, you got to follow him on Twitter @GamBlue and listen to the Bout Business Podcast. Great information each and every week. We really appreciate it, my friend, and we'll catch up again soon.
Thanks for having me, Dave. Good luck to everyone.
There he is, Lou Finocchiaro, everybody. Enjoy the fights. We'll see you on Friday, though, right back here for VSiN First Strike. Until then, we'll see you next time right here for First Strike, First Look.
Turns out, a delightfully clean home can make for a delightful start to the day. At Mrs. Meyer's, everything they make is inspired by the garden. With plant-derived and other thoughtfully chosen ingredients, their cleaning products smell like a dream and work like the Dickens, leaving your home sparkly clean and your to-do list tackled in no time. Goodness, there's no better feeling than that. Mrs. Meyer's, rooted in goodness. Visit MrsMeyers.com today.
Hey guys, back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah. And some waves. So we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that.
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in.
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it.
Can a girl go shopping?
Yeah, baby.
Wait. Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.